Blog Talk Radio.
All right, so we've got a situation now in Washington, D.C., where the president is in a situation with this person who was named as his investigator for the Russia situation. He is now going into the business deals of the president that have nothing to do with Russia, under the theory that they might have something to do with Russia. And the problem here is that at some point the president is going to lose, or is apparently going to lose, is losing, put yourself in his shoes, is losing patience with this person. I think what is happening here is the elites in Washington, D.C. think that they are 10 miles above, 100 light years, a million light years beyond Donald Trump, and that they're going to finally catch him out. And I think what's going on is there is an agreement that Mueller, whether, I don't know who he made it with, maybe with Comey, that he would provoke the president to reacting, and then the Congress would be able to go and impeach the president. That is, that's my take on it. There's no reason for Mueller to be going into these business deals. It's absolutely irrelevant to the Russia investigation, but everybody can see that this would get under anybody's skin, but to especially provoke the president, who's famous for having a thin skin. So that's what I'm thinking, and I think what the president could do instead of firing him is put in a special counsel to investigate Mueller, his ties with these lawyers, any secret deals that they may have made were made between Comey and Mueller you know, there's got to be, this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think even people that are not necessarily fans of the president can see what is going on here, that they are trying to, they're just trying to get the president to go off and to fire Mueller. Now, would that be wise? I mean, I don't know if he would survive it. I mean, even if he did, it would taint his presidency, which is a shame, because this guy Mueller should have never been appointed. He's a pure enemy. And this guy, they're just kind of this old, he looks like an old robot. Very grim looking, severe, obviously hates the president. I mean, you know, these are not the kind of people that should be put into an investigation on somebody. The left and the elites, I don't even know if it's correct to call it the left, or if it's correct to call it the Democrats, because this is not the traditional Democratic Party. The party has gone so far off the rails, it's crazy. Here is a little bit on the situation from Krauthammer.
President warned Special Counsel Robert Mueller.
And I want to say one thing before we really get into the show. I will figure out a way to do a show one way or the other. If this station turns into Spanish language, I did podcasting for years before I came on the air here, so we'll figure it out one way or the other. I don't know what the chances are of doing it through a radio station in this city, but here is on Mueller.
Not to investigate his finances in an interview with the New York Times. Mueller reportedly is doing just that and having his deputies spread the word that he's doing just that. Bloomberg reported this morning that Mueller is not just looking at links between Russia and Trump's presidential campaign. He's also investigating Trump's personal business dealings that may involve Russia, even tangentially. Those would include the 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Moscow. Meanwhile, about an hour ago, the Wall Street Journal reported that Mueller is also investigating former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort for possible money laundering. Charles Krauthammer is an author and columnist, and he joins us tonight. There's a lot here, but first to the timing of this. So the president says, I think unwisely to the New York Times, Mueller can't go there with my personal finances, my family's business. The very next day, somebody from the Mueller camp leaks this. What do you think of that?
Look, I think the problem here at root is the whole idea of the special counsel,
right,
special prosecutor. Their mandates are essentially unlimited. Their resources are unlimited. And politically, they're unfireable. Legally, yes, but we know what happened with Nixon when he tried to fire a special prosecutor. And I think the same would happen to Trump. He'd be engulfed if he tried to. And it's, I mean, why does this happen? Because what it does, the reason it's wrong, is it creates an organization with unlimited resources and mandate to go on a fishing expedition. We know what happened with Clinton. It started out as a bad real estate deal and ended up with sex in the Oval Office. Not exactly two related topics.
No, it's not a linear progression.
No, it was a rather zigzag progression from one to the other. Look, I think if the mandate, it's a given that we're having a special prosecutor, okay? He's
right.
The mandate is to look for the collusion, any cooperation. I think it is reasonable within the scope of that charge to look for, to follow the money, to see if there were financial dealings with Russia that might account for some of the collusion if they find collusion. What Trump seemed to say in the interview is he kind of accepted the logic of that. He wouldn't protest that. He seemed to say, if you go beyond Russia transactions, then you're on a fishing expedition, then you cross the red line. So even Trump seems to be saying that as long as these are Russian transactions, which I assume are fairly limited, Trump himself mentioned the sale of condos, for example, to Russian nationals, which on its face, completely innocent. So that seems to be where the dividing line is.
I think that's a big line, though. I mean, I'm confident until it's shown otherwise that Russia did not get Donald Trump elected. I don't think there's evidence of that.
Right.
Anytime you have any kind of financial transaction in Russia, whether it's buying dinner or selling a condo or having a Miss Universe pageant, I mean, who knows what's there? It's Russia.
And that's why I think looking at the finances is important. It's not a market economy like ours.
Exactly.
It's not one where you have public companies that have to make declarations on the stock market. This is a mafia regime run by thugs, ex-KGB thugs, and they launder money, they do deals, they steal. It's not to say that Trump had anything at all to do with any of that, but because those are the circumstances under which business is transacted,
exactly,
in Russia, then you can link it logically. So again, if you accept the premise that we should have a special prosecutor, mm-hmm, and you accept the scope to go after possible collusion, it makes sense to go after the financial,
yeah,
dealings. But you shouldn't be in a fishing expedition to go after stuff he did with other countries.
I totally disagree. I mean, they need to disband this investigation. This is ridiculous. This special prosecutor should have never, ever been appointed. And I do understand why the president is upset at Jeff Sessions, who was his first backer, is that if you are looking for someone to work for you, and the first time the person gets in trouble, flag, or thinks he's in trouble, then, totally unacceptable. By the way, this show is simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and I have done that for about 5 years. And that's Blog Talk Radio, Kelly O'Connell. So you can always listen through the computer. And if you are somebody who is not computer literate, but you have a computer, then it's very easy to find Blog Talk Radio. You can put it together as one word or separate. It doesn't matter. And then my name, Kelly O'Connell. And my show will pop up as I'm sure the first link, and then click on that, and it'll open the box there, and it'll have all the shows that I've put in there, which is, I think, 1,000. I think I've got 1,000 shows in there. All right. Why did Donald Trump warn Mueller not to go after his finances, MSNBC?
On top of today's event on this subject, on health care, invites three journalists from the New York Times into the Oval Office, accompanied only by a junior aide, and gives us, as we say in the news business, a fresh lead for
Kelly.
The night. Yes, and an
please
interview
talk.
As bizarre as his presidency, and I thought the most extraordinary part of that
Kelly,
interview was the implied threat to Robert Mueller
please
that there was a red line, that if you cross this red line,
I understand.
Well, then what?
I've said it on the air, though, many times. Everything
prosecutor.
Runs through the same machine.
You know, remind me again what the definition of obstruction
I can't
of justice
turn off
is
a clip
when you are clearly
so I can talk to somebody off the air.
That prosecutors should not ask certain questions, should not pursue
can you hear
certain
me?
Leads. That was an extraordinary moment in
I'll
American jurisprudence in general.
Just work with me a little
but even
bit.
By the standards of this president, it was just the naked threat, the Tony Soprano-like tone of this. Don't even ask this question. Don't go there because you know where he's going. And again, if the attorney general is paying attention and the attorney general, you know, connects the dots and resigns, we really have a situation that's unprecedented, even for those of us that lived through the Saturday Night Massacre.
Yeah.
And Brian,
yes.
Brian, you know, that interview, that part of the interview also was like being pulled over by a cop and saying, fine, officer, whatever you say, but whatever you do, don't look in the trunk, right?
Right.
So,
that was a bit
know,
of a tell. Nothing in the
don't
trunk.
Don't look at the Trump family business operations outside of Russia.
Hilarious. Real hilarious. All these people who hate his guts. We do have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, Kelly, it's Tom.
Hey.
Nothing's ever mentioned about Joe Biden's son having dealings with Ukraine.
Maybe because he got a brain tumor.
Something like that. But, I mean, you know, there's radio silence on, you know, anything. The media doesn't bring up anything negative about the liberal agenda
where
the way they conduct themselves.
Where's the discussion about Hillary selling 20% of American uranium, and that where's the discussion about Barack Obama telling the president of the Ukraine, I can get you deals, just not today? This is absurd. It's absurd. I think that Trump needs to, in his position, he needs to start fighting back in a transparent way. Put an independent prosecutor on Mueller with mm-hmm. The power to recommend prosecution, do a thorough background investigation of all the attorneys. And, you know, if Jeff Sessions needs to go, he needs to go. I like Jeff Sessions, but for him to immediately put up the white flag, it was ridiculous.
I believe you're right. I think he's still surrounded by a lot of people who are talent or not his friends, and they're not giving him good advice.
Well, nobody's ever seen anything like this, but people should be able to look at what's going on and say to themselves, we are in a brave new world. We're in brand new territory. We need to fight as if this is a fight to the death, because that's what it is for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. All right, Kelly, have a good day.
Thanks, you too. All right, folks, when you call, I've mentioned this 1,000 times, but I know the experience is kind of unnerving. If you call me, I run everything on my own in the studio. And everything goes through the same machine, which is my mixing board. So if you call me to talk and there's a clip playing, when I pick up the phone, you're going to hear that clip. And what you need to do is just talk. And a lot of people, it's kind of deer in the headlights. They can't believe that there's something being played in the background when the phone gets picked up. But if the phone gets picked up, I'm the one who's picking it up. So just to let you know, call in. And what I'll do is put you on hold until the clip is done. Now, that might be a little bit uncomfortable for you, but you know, that's such as life. But anyway, We'll take a little break here and 523-1450 to call in 805-6180. I picked up a new phone for the text machine, and what I decided I'd do, we'll set up the voicemail on it, 805-6180. This is your way to get a hold of me and to talk about the next phase. Should AM Las Cruces go off the air, we'll talk about the next phase. But text me your information, and I'm thinking about getting a website together. I've already got the website, but to be able to broadcast on the internet, which I've done through Blog Talk Radio for, I guess, for 7 or 8 years. So, and I've been doing it on the show. I don't really mention it that much because I always forget. But anyway, we'll take a break here. 523-1450, 805-6180 to text. We'll be back. All right, so here is Newt Gingrich, who always has the very best commentary on this stuff. All right, this thing with Mueller is ridiculous. And think back in history, all the different things that you read about or hear about, and you never know what the real details are. All you know is the outcome. Somebody gets impeached or some scandal, but you don't know, you know. So what these guys do on the left, and I'm not saying it's just could be the left. It could be done by anybody in power, is to set somebody up. And nobody is, if let's just say that Trump got angry and fired Mueller and then they impeached him. The only thing you're going to hear about is that he fired this guy that he shouldn't have and that he was impeached. You're not going to hear about Mueller being an attack dog for James Comey, his best friend. You're not going to hear about all of the investigators, not just being Democrats, but being people who gave money to Hillary Clinton, et cetera. All right, check this out.
And hey, welcome back to Hannity. New evidence tonight that the Washington, D.C. swamp and the deep state, they are trying to sabotage, undermine, and destroy Donald Trump's presidency. That is the subject of tonight's mini monologue. All right, today, President Trump has been in office for 6 months. He has a long list of accomplishments, despite getting no help from congressional Republicans. Now, we've been telling you about the five forces that have been working against the president. And tonight, I want to focus on establishment Republicans in particular. And yesterday, President Trump told GOP lawmakers that, quote, inaction is not an option of getting rid of Obamacare. Yet in the Senate, the effort to repeal and replace the disastrous health care law is stalled. And we're not sure how it's all going to turn out here, which is very, very frustrating. It's beyond frustrating. All of us here for years, we've been hearing over and over again, 7 years, 2010, 2014, 2016, they're going to get rid of Obamacare. Now, the American people, you know what? You've been bearing the burden of Obamacare. But instead of Republicans keeping their solemn promise of 7 years, they haven't done a thing. So tonight, we're asking them why that is. Are there enough establishment Republicans now that are willing to go down with the ship, maybe risk their seat because of their hatred for President Trump? Isn't this supposed to be the Republican Party, the party of repeal and replace? Isn't it supposed to be the party of energy independence? Isn't it the party of originalism on the court, the party of safety and security of the homeland? Do these Republicans, do they not care about low taxes, less government, creating jobs? Now, President Trump's agenda is what the Republican Party tells us they stand for, so there really shouldn't be any excuses. And at this point, there should be some sort of tangible progress. So tonight, these Republicans who aren't doing everything they can do to pass the president's agenda through Congress, the agenda that you, the American people, voted for and deserve, well, they need to take a good, hard look in the mirror tonight. If you're in Congress, the House, the Senate, and you're not doing your job, if you're not serving the American people, you're supposed to be public servants, then get out of the way. Go home. Let somebody else do the job you won't do. Also tonight, more evidence that Robert Mueller's special counsel, that they are on a massive witch hunt. Bloomberg tonight reporting that the special counsel is now looking into business transactions and financial dealings of President Trump and people that are connected to his campaign. Now, this, of course, comes after President Trump last night told the New York Times that Mueller would be crossing the line if he did that. Now, this is what I've been talking about when I say the deep state is at work. So just hours after the president's statement, well, someone leaked this information to Bloomberg to try and damage the president, annoy the president, and frustrate the president. And today, yet another example of deep state leaks. Wall Street Journal is reporting that the special counsel is investigating Paul Manafort for possible money issues, and we'll have the latest and more breaking news as that develops. Now, Mueller should be investigating who is committing crimes by leaking this type of information to the press. Now, these leaks have been going on for months and months and months. Nothing is done to stop them, and they continue. And aside from these potentially criminal leaks, well, Mueller, he has massive conflicts of interest. For example, President Trump pointed out to the Times a huge conflict of interest the mainstream media has largely ignored. Do you know the day before Mueller was appointed as special counsel? Guess what? He was interviewed by President Trump for the FBI director job. So Mueller knew he had a chance to be appointed special counsel, yet he's still interviewed to be the FBI director. It's beyond ridiculous. Also, Mueller has several other conflicts of interest. Remember, he's BFF with James Comey, who's a key witness in this investigation. Well, that could be a potential violation of the law. And Mueller, what did he do? Look at the people he's hired. Members on his team, well, that have donated thousands and thousands of dollars to Democrats, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. Take a look at this graphic. His investigators have donated tens of thousands of dollars to the likes of these people. Okay. And by the way, what's even worse is that one of the lawyers on Mueller's team, guess what? It used to be Hillary Clinton's lawyer at the Clinton Foundation. Joining us now, author of the New York Times bestseller, Understanding Trump, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. That's a pretty big conflict of interest, sir. By the way, 8 weeks on the Times list. Congrats.
Well, yeah. Thank you. But, you know, the Mueller investigation has so many conflicts of interest. It's almost an absurdity. The law firm he comes from gave 99.81% of its donations to Hillary Clinton last year. That's right. 0.19% went to Donald Trump. The people that he's been hiring are all anti-Trump lawyers. Several of them have very bad records of hiding information from the defense. And one case was rebuked by the Supreme Court on a 9-0 vote. It's hard to understand why he would assemble such a team unless it was a deliberate effort to go after the president and the president's team. I think that I don't understand why the House and Senate judiciary committees aren't investigating a lot of this stuff. The point you made about leaks is a perfectly good example. The leaks have to be coming from inside Mueller's team. So who's leaking?
The Republicans never stand up for themselves. I mean, it's absurd. You've got all this power and you've got this wrongdoing right in front of you and you look the other way.
Why is nothing being done about it? Why are people not being fired? I think it's very reasonable to say that this is a very dangerous witch hunt, that Mueller keeps expanding it because he can't find anything in the original charge. He's not going to find anything about Trump and Russia. And yet he's hired all these guys who've given up their very expensive law services to come out and try to get somebody. And they're going to eventually find somebody to prosecute because there are too many lawyers being paid too much money for them to go home having accomplished nothing.
How is it possible that they're hiring not only Hillary Clinton's lawyers? He had applied for the FBI director's job. He's best friends with James Comey, who leaked on purpose to get this special counsel. And how do you hire all these people that only donated to Clinton and Obama and Democrats? How is that?
So anyway, we got to take a break for our own local news. But I mean, you know, the House and the Senate need to investigate these people. Why do you just sit? Why do the Republicans specialize in sitting back and just taking abuse until, you know, they suffer some profound loss? It's really ridiculous. We'll be right back. Local news. All right, what do you think is going to happen? 5-2-3-14-50. Hard to know what exactly. Trump is a little bit difficult to predict. Got some headlines here for you. Steve Bannon on the brink. Trump eyeing fresh faces. Instead of bringing in fresh faces, what he really should be doing is getting rid of all of these Obama holdovers who hate his guts. Get him out of the government. And, you know, I have a friend, my friend Carlos, was interviewed for the Department of Education job a little while ago, and he was informed that Donald Trump has a conversation with every person who is hired. Now, I don't know how far down the food chain that goes, but, you know, my friend wasn't being vetted for the head of the education, so it means that he's probably overly involved. He needs to have people that he trusts that do these things for him. Kind of reminds me of Jimmy Carter, who was so overly involved in the White House comings and goings and such that he would supposedly sit down and block out who was going to be playing tennis at the White House tennis courts, which is ridiculous. But okay, so he here is a few headlines for you. Food stamp use lowest in 7 years. I wonder if when unemployment was skyrocketing, if Obama felt satisfied by that. I mean, he must have, right? Because he was doing things that led to it. DNC, the leadership of the Democratic Party, is down millions of dollars. Justin Bieber has been banned from China to help purify the nation. Really? Maybe next they could purify the concentration camps. CIA chief signals desire for regime change in North Korea. Why is that a headline? 100 new wildfires in California. It is just going crazy over there with you've got all the growth from all of the rain, and then you have this heat wave come through. So, but especially around Yosemite, they're having a lot of problems with fire. O.J. Simpson getting out, could be heading to reality TV. And McCain vows to be back, although his life expectancy now is just plummeting. Man goes to jail rather than pay his ex-wife $10 million in epic divorce battle. And all right, so looking for anything else out here. Coffee with Viagra-like substance is recalled as the male customers of it are using it for you-know-what. And there's a report here, cartel leader ate victims in tamale dish. I doubt you'll see that on the Food Channel. And the people that they have joining the elite forces in the military could be trannies. They had a certain number of women that they wanted to get into this these different branches, and the females tend not to qualify through all the rigorous testing and boot camp and everything. So they've got trannies who are coming in to take their place. Very interesting. All right, let's see. Let me give you a little bit of. Let me find out for you what's going on in Yosemite. They've got this old camp that is was from the most ancient days of gold panning. And there's a fire right around that, but there are a lot of fires. And I have some for you from Fox News on this.
Size yesterday is the wind. Not that it's so strong, but it's shifting. And firefighters say just as they finish a containment line in one spot, the wind would shift to another, burning more land, taking more homes. And then another thing, the embers. They just kept jumping the fire lines, wiping out all the work they just finished. So this is some new video from a Cal Fire pilot. It shows you what they are up against in the Sierra foothills, steep terrain, tall brush, pine, and oak.
And through it, there's no electricity. Power's out.
Everybody's scared. You'd never think something like this would happen in your town.
Now, there are 415 engines and 3,300 firefighters on site. Now, what that tells you is this fire is not in the middle of nowhere. It is inside Yosemite National Park, 59 homes and structures lost, 4,000 homes at risk. Power lines are down. Two towns, Mariposa and Coulterville, totally evacuated. A satellite image will show you a smoke trail causing air quality issues from California over Nevada to Idaho. 14 helicopters and 10 water-dropping tankers are helping the ground crews in this intense heat. And what that does allow them, it slows the fire down a little bit, allows you to get in there with your containment lines and your bulldozers. Now, the fire, Rick, was 50,000 acres burned yesterday. The morning briefing is happening right now as we speak up in Northern California. So in the next 30 minutes, we'll get an update.
Here's an update. I think this is an update on this DeWittler fire.
The 170,000 acres and is now larger in size than the city of Seattle. The flames are now threatening the historic Gold Rush town of Coulterville, in addition to the town of Mariposa. Right now, fire crews say they are confident they formed a line around the west flank of the fire. Focus tonight is on building a fire line to the north and protecting homes in Coulterville. The fire has destroyed 45 structures so far and is 10% contained. KPX5's Andrea Borba live in Yosemite, where the park is now covered in smoke. Andrea?
Well, Veronica, take a look across the valley floor behind me. That is Glacier Point. You should be able to see detail in the granite face of that rock. But all you see at the moment is an outline of Glacier Point rapidly disappearing into smoke.
Our firefighters that have come in here are treating this fire as if it's their home ground.
On day four of the fight to save homes from the Detweiler fire in Mariposa County, CAL FIRE crews are looking at historic fire maps to see where fires have taken an unpredictable turn in these dry hills before. Among maps they're looking at, the Telegraph fire that ripped through here in 2008.
We're able to use that information to help work on decisions and tactics to suppress this fire. There is areas of this fire that does not have historical information, but some of them do.
The fire is causing problems well beyond the burn zone. For a short time Wednesday, power was knocked out to Yosemite National Park.
We have backup power generators that kick in to supply our visitor center, our lodges, our restaurants.
As the relative humidities drop in the afternoon and the flames and wind kick up, smoke from the Detweiler fire is making its way into the Yosemite Valley, making icons like Half Dome disappear before your very eyes.
All right, 70,000 acres is pretty big, so 523-1450 to call in, 805-61-802. Text, here is your weather. All right, so got some Google news for you here. Trump team trying to block Mueller's Russia investigation or pare it down. Hawaii getting ready for a North Korean missile attack. Teens laughed as man drowns. That's pretty heavy duty. In 6.6 magnitude off the Aegean, or hits the Aegean area of Greece, and Turkish citizens killed. Big earthquakes out there happening in the last week. And let's see what else here. That is fit to print. Elon Musk wants to make a Hyperloop, which I think I played a clip from that before. Yeah, let's see. All right, so when what did you think about the Charlie Gard, the baby that was basically desperately needed help every day, was disabled, and the parents wanted it to live. And there was a move to take it off life support or to take it off of the treatment that it was getting. I thought that was pretty sad. If parents want to fight for their children, it would seem like you should move back and allow them to do so. I do have a little bit, I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but on the John McCain situation, a little clip on what John McCain's tumor is, the most malignant of tumors. Kind of depressing, but here you go.
For more on the prognosis of Senator McCain, we're joined by Dr. Andrew Sloan. He's director at the Brain Tumor and Neuro-Oncology Center at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. Doctor, thanks a lot for joining us. What does this diagnosis mean? What is this?
My pleasure. Well, GBM is the most common and unfortunately the most malignant of all the primary brain tumors, and it's considered a grade 4 tumor. Median survival is somewhere between 14 and 15 months on average. That said, you know, people are living longer and longer as they get more and more aggressive treatment many times, and people with a fighting attitude such as Senator McCain tend to do better. And there are a lot of, in addition to the standard treatment, which is surgery as well as radiation chemotherapy, people are also doing experimental treatments with immunotherapy, tumor vaccines. There's an electrical device that seems to slow the division of remaining tumor, and all these seem to be helpful. The biggest prognostic indicator that the physicians can control is extensive resection. And so one of the things that I think the physicians will be looking at is whether they got as much tumor as they really can. It sounds like when they originally went in, they went in thinking that this was a blood clot and not necessarily with the diagnosis of tumor in mind. And so that will be something important to look at.
How common is this?
Well, with age, it becomes increasingly common. As I said, it's the most common primary malignant brain tumor. That said, it's only about 2% of all cancer.
Huh. This is the same disease that killed Senator Ted Kennedy?
And I think Bo Biden as well.
There's obviously treatment for it. Is there a cure for it?
Well, cure is a word that we don't use very often with glioblastoma, but I would caution you that despite the grim prognosis, we do have 2 and 5 and occasionally 10-year survivors. So again, I think that as long as he's doing well, and it sounds like he's doing quite well, I think, you know, if he treats it aggressively, there's no reason why he can't do well for at least a couple more years.
Mm. Doctor, thanks a lot for that perspective. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. So it just seems like his days, I mean, obviously he's 80 years old, so he's already well, as they say, long in the tooth. We'll take a break right here and come back. Here's a little bit from Schiff's Riffs. Student drivers.
Yesterday, I was driving down in my neighborhood here, the Pico Robertson area, and I noticed one of those student drivers. You know, they got the sign all over the car and like gigantic, like 400-foot letters, student driver. That's to let you know that these people have no idea what they're doing and they don't know how to drive. And, you know, they stop at a red light or a stop sign. It takes them like an hour to make a right turn. And now they stick them in those stupid hybrid cars that go 0 to 60 in about 4 months. And you sit there and they put their clicker on and it clicks and it clicks and you want to go crazy. No, these people are not living in a real world, because what's happening is nobody bothers these people when they drive. They just leave them alone. That's not what it's going to be like when they start driving. So what I like to do is I like to show them what driving is really going to be about. I like to pull up behind these people that have an inch to spare and just start honking like a guy that just got out of an insane asylum. It's just, sometimes I like to get out of my car with a tire iron in my hand and just start shaking it. Get out of the car. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Let them know what it's going to be like to drive on the 405 freeway. Otherwise, it's not real. And I also think that, and I know this is going to sound weird, but Asian drivers, they should leave the student sign on even after they get their license. What do you think about that?
Shifts, riffs, and take you out with the Sundays. We'll be back after a break on the hour. Kelly O'Connell. Hey, it's Kelly.
Good morning, Kelly. It's Melissa. How are you today?
Melissa, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to comment that I think the Thresha stuff is like a twofold process on the Democratic side, because I think, one, that they're going to keep it alive for 4 years to affect the reelection.
Of course,
if possible, of President Trump.
Yeah, makes
sense. And then second, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Makes sense.
And then second, they're doing like a version of chase your tail with him, you know? They keep throwing something out that makes him turn this way or makes him say that or makes him do this, trying to create an effect in the White House of him just being all over the place, because they're upset that he's not reacting like a politician. In their opinion, he should have tucked tail and run already, and he's not that kind of guy. And they think that his complete focus should have been on the Russian thing, but he's incredibly able to multitask and still get stuff done in the White House. So I think that they're just extremely upset with him. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that's very accurate. So is he going to fire Mueller?
I think he should have from the beginning. I think as soon as he fired Comey and they said Mueller was going to be the next, he should have just immediately fired him.
Well,
I was
thinking, what if he got rid of him and said, I'm not getting rid of the investigation, I'm going to put Alan Dershowitz in charge of it?
I think that would be a brilliant move.
Yeah, I was trying to think, how do you get rid of Mueller without getting rid of the investigation? That would throw people who are a loop so far, you know?
Right, yeah. I agree. And when Comey was testifying, he even testified that President Trump told him, so you're just investigating Russian collusion? Yes. Okay. Well, let me know if you find anything.
Melissa,
keep doing it.
I'm on the air in 30 seconds. Did you want to say anything on the air?
No, I don't, but thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too, Melissa. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, just had a phone call from Melissa, who says she believes they're going to try to keep the investigation going for 4 years until the next election, I guess 3.5 years. And I asked her if she thought that Trump should fire Mueller, and she said she thought he should have been fired in the first day he was named, to strangle him in the crib, if you know what I mean. And so my thoughts are, why not fire Mueller and replace him with Alan Dershowitz, who is a brilliant guy? He was the youngest professor in the history of Harvard Law School. He was 26 or 27 when he started teaching there. And somebody who is really understands the rule of law, Mueller. I mean, we're sitting here watching this like a train wreck. Mueller is just slowly going after him with this army of Clinton lawyers, and the Republicans do what they're best at, nothing, and just stand there with their mouths open, some of them hoping that they get Trump. And this is, you know, others just hoping that they're would go away. One of the things that I've found fascinating about this party, you've got people in there that have been elected to represent their constituents. How many groups of Republican constituents, are asking for the president to be impeached or for him to be forced to resign? The Never Trump movement is really absurd, especially when you bear in mind that Trump is trying to do a lot of conservative things. And he's actually achieved a lot, but, you know, you wouldn't know that, of course, but anyway, looking at a little bit of New Mexico news here, cannabis industry leaders talk ripple effect on real estate. And this is from yesterday in Biz Journal. Leaders from Ultra Health and Pure Life were discussing how New Mexico's multimillion-dollar industry could also expand and affect real estate. And in 2016, the top 25 medical marijuana companies generated over $46 million in gross receipts and paid over $12 million in compensation to their employees. And these companies are already based in New Mexico. And so they're talking about how bringing in marijuana could bring more money into the economy and help the real estate market. I mean, obviously, the more money that people make on average, the bigger houses, the better houses that they can afford. But we're also talking about the building of the construction of buildings for cultivation. They've got 4.2 million square feet of real estate in Denver for commercial cannabis cultivation. So anyway, what do you think of that? Now, big bucks for New Mexico college graduates. They're getting a bang for the buck, according to the Santa Fe New Mexican. And this is just published. And students who graduate from New Mexico's four-year colleges and universities see an average return of more than 150% of tuition costs within 5 years. A new report says ranking the state second in the nation when it comes to the economic benefits of an academic degree. A report was released by Student Loan Hero, an Austin, Texas-based student loan management company. And a typical bachelor degree earner gets $43,000 per year after graduation. High school degrees, $26,000, almost double, a little less than double. Wyoming was ranked first in the study. We're second. Arkansas, third. Texas, fourth. Georgia, fifth. And I wonder if it has to do, you know, you've got this large number of kids that drop out of high school, and then you've got this other group of people that's graduating from university. So it seems like there's a tremendous swing between the number of people with degrees and those who don't have. And I just don't know how you make it if you don't have a degree. You know, I don't know how you make it if you're a high school dropout. It's must be terrible. But then again, we're famous for having people on state aid and government aid. So, all right. So who do you think the next governor is going to be? Steve Pierce is running. He's got a well-oiled machine and has been a frequent guest on this show. And you have other folks in the mix as well. So you think we're going to get another Southern New Mexico governor? I guess it is entirely possible, but you'd also have to get another, there's a lot of the political powers all up north, so it's kind of amazing we got one governor from down here. But I think Steve Pierce has got a real opportunity, obviously, he's in national office right now. So take a break here and come back and talk about tripping over the boy who tripped over the dinosaur. Locally, we're in the national news. All right. So, excuse me, we are here and I've got this story about the young man who stumbled over a dinosaur locally. Here we go from CBS News.
It was quite a trip for a young boy. It took him back in time, about a million years. Here's Jim Axelrod.
For the last few months, Jude Sparks has been learning some uncommon things. Uncommon for 10-year-olds, anyway.
How to tell Stegomastodon from mammoth, how to tell tusk from bone, and that's about it.
Jude has been working at an excavation site near his home in New Mexico, digging up the fossilized remains of a prehistoric elephant ancestor called the Stegomastodon. Even more uncommon for a 10-year-old, Jude discovered it.
This thing, it looks like an elephant. I mean, for all practical purposes, he found an elephant.
He and his family were out for a walk last November when he tripped and came face to face with what he thought was a cow skeleton.
The only part of the jaw I saw was the two teeth, this part of the bone, and that part of the bone.
He called for his mom, Michelle, to take a look.
It was very unusual. We knew it was something. The coloring was different. It wasn't what you usually see.
It looked old?
It looked old, yeah.
So they called the professor at New Mexico State, who confirmed it was a million years old. Experts then started to excavate, with Jude helping. So far, they've got the skull, jaw, and tusks.
And this little boy will be able to show off to his friends or even his own children when he's older and say, look what I found.
But this 10-year-old budding paleontologist isn't done yet.
Rider bikes, and I just keep looking on the ground to see if I can find another something.
Not after what he found tripping over ancient history. Jim Axelrod, CBS News, New York.
It looked old, a million years old. Well, that's the elephant he'll never forget.
All right, so he was, okay, so this is from Fox News, family outing. Hiking the rugged New Mexico desert some 5 miles east of Las Cruces by the majestic Oregon Mountains in November. So where exactly was this at? They're not saying where it was at. So remember when we had talked about the opportunity that we have in this area to build up the economy? I mean, if there is a lot of, fossils in this area, why not get on it and start doing some more excavations and... You know, like I was saying, the trackways and where all the petrified wood is. So there's obviously a lot of fossils around here. So it would be something beats is better than nothing. So anyway, all right. So for those of you interested in dinosaurs, did you know the T-Rex, despite the famous movies in which the T-Rex chases down people and gobbles them up, is actually couldn't run, they say, because of the size of the dinosaur and its legs, the size of its leg versus the size of its weight and body. If it had run, it would have shattered its legs. So here you go. And this is again from CBS.
Completely changes what we know about the Tyrannosaurus rex. Researchers found that T-Rex could not really run. Its size and weight would have made that nearly impossible. Jonathan Vigliotti is at the T-Rex exhibit in London with how fast the dinosaurs could actually go. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning. The Tyrannosaurus rex is what's known here in London's Natural History Museum as an apex predator, meaning anything standing in its way could become its breakfast. Fortunately for these visitors, he's just a robot. But even if he was real, new science suggests to avoid being eaten, all you need to do is simply run away. It's one of cinema's classic scenes.
Must go faster.
An angry T-Rex charges at a group of terrified researchers in Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park.
All right, so my machine just crashed. We'll take your news right now, and I'll get this machine rebooted for you. We'll be right back.
A startling news.
I have a bizarre story about an entertainer that you may never have heard about. His name is R. Kelly. He's an R&B artist, but he is supposedly got a sex. So this guy is, I looked up, he's worth $150 million. He's had some gigantic hits, and they say that he has got a sex cult that was established. This is from Vulture.com. R. Kelly reportedly raised a woman in alleged sex cult since she was 14 or 15. He meets women, young women, and he will bring them home, and then he will train them up how to be his wife, and he's got a number of these women. Anyway, here's a little bit on this. He was charged with child porn before, and he beat the charges, and he was married to the singer Aaliyah, the lady that died in the plane wreck when she was, I think he married her at 15, but anyway, here you go.
Aimed at R. Kelly.
Yeah, some families are convinced the singer has their daughters in a cult, and his former entourage is speaking out.
Get with a real player, you know what I'm saying? Take you around the world, make love to you in 50 states.
R. Kelly has never been shy about being a ladies' man, but now the R&B legend is accused by two families of holding their daughters against their will in a cult. The explosive allegations were uncovered by BuzzFeed.
I think the parents would do anything and everything, including camping out on R. Kelly's stoop, until their daughters come out.
The parents of two aspiring singers who were teenagers when they first met R. Kelly say they originally trusted the 50-year-old star to be their daughter's mentor. One of the girl's parents say they last saw her 7 months ago.
The parents are saying their daughters have been brainwashed and that they don't believe they really want to be there, that they're not thinking straight.
The girls have told their parents or authorities that they are fine.
The girls said, we want to be here and we're of age to be here.
Three former members of R. Kelly's entourage are also speaking out, claiming six women live in homes rented by him in Chicago and Atlanta, and that R. Kelly completely controls their lives.
You are told when to sleep, when to eat, when to bathe, when you can watch TV. They're instructed in how to pleasure him sexually.
One of the women, R. Kelly's one-time personal assistant, says he is a puppet master. The women claim that if any one of the girls breaks his rules, he punishes them physically and verbally. However, police have not found any wrongdoing. As you know, R. Kelly is no stranger to scandal. In 2003, he was arrested for child pornography, but was acquitted on all charges. He's also denied reports he married the late singer Aaliyah when she was underage.
We're in the cut like we don't give a...
Despite his rap sheet, the father of three is still respected in the business, having scored gigs with Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber, to name a few.
The parents are hopeful that perhaps the federal authorities can do something where police in Georgia, Florida, and Chicago have been unable to help.
Here's a little bit from the family, just a little clip here from the daughter, the father of one of the daughters.
Today, for months in, years in, until he released these girls where they belong. My daughter was off in college at the time, and I haven't seen her since. I want to thank y'all for coming out. And I'm going to let someone else speak. I'm going to let my wife speak. And then I'm also going to let Shante speak if she wants to.
Can you talk to me first?
My name is Timothy Savage.
Tim, before you leave the microphone, though, can we ask you, it's a pretty serious charge to say that your daughter's being held against her will. How old is she, and what evidence do you have she's being held against her will?
My daughter is, right now, she's 21 at this time. I'm going to ask some questions after this. So if you can hold your questions, I'm going to ask a couple questions for people. So allow my family and friends to speak and guests to speak so we can have that honor to share and put this out here, okay? Thank you. This is my wife, Jonjolyn Savage.
I'm Jonjolyn. It's spelled J-O-N.
Anyway, this is 7 minutes of just claims that this guy is keeping a harem. Why doesn't he just become Muslim and, you know, no biggie? Speaking of Islam, I've got a little clip on the history of the Quran that you might find notable. Very interesting. We'll be right back. 729, you got some local weather for you. Hopefully we got more rain, folks. That's what we need, more rain. All right, a couple of weird stories for you. Mountain lion crashes through California woman's bedroom. There's a video of a mountain lion that is running in front of a truck, and then it tries to jump through the front door of a bowling alley, and then it ends up running towards an apartment complex. This is in California, and crashes through the window of a lady's bedroom and lands on her bed, and she woke up and said, actually, at first, I think she, oh, this is the apartment manager saying, actually, at first, I think she thought she was dreaming. It didn't seem real. She stayed calm and opened the back door of her apartment. The animal bleeding took off. So they've got a, they had, this thing already had a tracker around its neck, so they know a little bit about this critter. And, this was in Coosa, California, which I'm not exactly sure. Let me Google that for you. Coosa, county seat of Coosa, California, population 5,971. And I have no idea, but it is up in North California. All right. Here is one of the most sickening things I've ever seen in my headlines in my life. Killer shot his newly married stepdaughter so he could video himself having sex with her dead body, then buried her behind his shed. Gregory Graff recorded himself sexually abusing the body of Jessica Paget. Northampton County District Attorney John Morganelli said Graff is being held without bail on a homicide charge. He confessed to the killing. Paget, a recently married mother of three, was murdered. And he also had a marijuana growing space at his house. And that is in Pennsylvania. And while they're interviewing him, he said, you know, I really don't consider myself a bad person. Amish couple gifted their 14-year-old daughter to a 52-year-old man who impregnated her. They're sentenced to up to 7 years in prison. They should get longer than that. Daniel and Sevilla Stoltz. Zifus, should be Doofus, Daniel and Sevilla Doofus, sentenced Wednesday after entering pleas of child endangerment. And that's, oh my gosh, again in Pennsylvania, it's starting to catch up to California. We got a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Mark.
Good morning, Mark. What's on your mind?
Oh, a couple things. Number one, on the format change that's being recommended, do you think that stems a little while back you had said that a local authority had wanted to get you off the air?
That I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that the gay evangelist doesn't want me on the air, and I'm sure that Ken Miyagashima, the last time I talked to him, I had played a gag segment, and he would not be happy. So here's the thing. They wanted to get rid of Sound Off. Sound Off is gone because the paper is so small. These people, it's like anybody else. These people don't want, and if you have a show where you can call in and say, you know, I went down to the county and, you know, I told them that the house next door was full of mosquitoes and they didn't do anything about it. I mean, government really doesn't want that. It wants to take care of its problems in-house. If there's an opportunity, you know, if you have a show where it's live or you can get on. I mean, I really don't care what anybody's political position is. If you call in, you're allowed to speak your mind. So, I mean, it's better for government if you don't have that, because there's no light being shown on stuff, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's the thing. They want working people that disagree with these governments running amok to stay busy and not be able to see anything or question anything. So.
Yeah, well, and I mean, this is the spoken word format is the greatest. I mean, if you think back in human history, the greatest things that have ever happened in human history have been through speeches and free speech of some kind, you know. And it's a shame to lose it from the owner's perspective. It's about dollars and cents. So, I think I'm going to do is. I'll experiment with doing a podcast, which is a fancy name for saying broadcasting on the internet. It'll still be live and there'll be a recording of it. It's not the same as going out and turning it on in your car, but I think there's some apps. I think there are apps where you can listen to something on the internet through your car. As a matter of fact, I know there is. I just have to find out more about it, but, I don't see any other station in town becoming talk radio unless, you know, they were to take the AM station at the other, at Adams Radio and turn it into talk radio after this one goes off. I don't know. I mean, I just know that it's a business decision.
Well, maybe so, but I think there might be some outside political influence.
I know the owner, and, he is, you know, he's a conservative guy. But, you know, his number one commitment is to his business surviving.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. But I'm sure they'll celebrate you going off the air. Unfortunately, we won't be all the way.
Well, listen, I've got the text line 805-6180. Text me your information. Text me your email. I'll put you on an email list, and I'll let you know how to get to my station on the internet. And then we can take it from there. But or feel free to call 575-805-6180 if you want to talk about it. You guys are more than welcome to contact me. But there is, you know, life's full of transitions. This is a transition, and, you know, we can make the best of it.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mark. All right. It's not nefarious. It's not diabolical. It's not satanic. It's a business decision. All right. We'll take a break here. I'm not going to take a break. I'm going to play for you how the oldest Quran has found little similarity to modern version, and I will take a break. Yes. Be right back. All right, so here we go. Oldest Quran found has little similarity to modern version.
Muslims believe the Quran to be the word of God as dictated to the Prophet Muhammad, while most Christians and Jews understand their holy texts to be authored by men inspired by God. This distinction means that critical analysis of the sacred texts, which has so enlightened Christian and Jewish thinking since the 16th century, becomes an extremely sensitive issue.
I just wanted to let you know, I had written a number of articles on Islamic law, and the belief in Islam is that the Quran was written in from all eternity in the form of the mother book and was in the bosom of Allah from all eternity. And the interesting claim about this is that it was written in Arabic. So God himself speaks Arabic, if Allah. One interesting claim. And if you compare it to John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. This idea that Jesus comes down as an embodiment, as a living expression of the word, then everything he says is sacred. But it is the inspiration of men. And frankly, there's no women in the Bible that are writing scripture. But although there were judges and prophetesses in the Old Testament, in New Testament, I'm trying to remember, I think Deborah was a judge. So there's female involvement, but there's no scripture that we have from a female. But anyway, comparing the two worldviews of religion is kind of interesting. But here we go. Oldest Quran has little similarity to modern version.
When it's applied to the Quran. And it doesn't help when those scholars who are making the attempt are largely Western non-Muslims. Can their studies really shed new light on the text and its origins? In 1972, during the restoration of the great mosque of Sana'a, capital of North Yemen, workers discovered a mash of old parchments in a loft between the inner and outer roofs. The entire load was stuffed into some 20 potato sacks, where it might have remained were it not for the arrival, 7 years later, of Dr. Geert Puin, a German scholar and Quranic expert. Puin immediately grasped the significance of the find. Working with a team of local assistants, he carefully prized the layers apart and fired off thousands of photographs. Four fragments immediately caught Puin's attention. They contained the first and last chapters of the Quran, and unlike any other Qurans in existence, they were illustrated with architectural drawings of mosques. Vital clue to their origin.
Man kann eben diesen...
Because of its drawings, because of the art historical context, you can date this Quran very precisely to the time of Al-Walid.
Sehr genau datieren auf die Zeit von Al-Walid.
This is the reign between 705 and 715.
The oldest datable Quran in the world, created some 70 years after the death of the Prophet. From the potato sacks, Puin identified fragments from nearly 1,000 different Qurans. Comparisons between them and the standard Cairo text in use today are startling. These early texts are written in a kind of shorthand with no vowel markings or distinguishing dots, which means that individual words can have up to 30 different meanings.
Is it really so that man durch die schiere Existenz
the sheer existence of so many different possible readings would suggest that this text wasn't passed down word for word. The text isn't as stable as it seems in the Cairo version.
In der Fassung von Kairo erscheint.
There was another important discovery amongst the Sarna fragments. The application of simple forensic techniques revealed earlier texts that had been washed off and overwritten. Although the hidden text revealed no contradictory meanings, words had been changed, verses and whole chapters rearranged.
If his researches are correct, particularly on dating, it suggests, in fact, that the Quran was not a single product, a single entity that was fixed by 650, but actually developed much, much later, hence the overlaying of texts of written materials.
None of this phases Islamic scholars, past and present. They are adamant that the integrity of the text has been preserved through a strong oral tradition. And if differences occur in earlier written versions, they say these are due to regional and colloquial variations of the same words and phrases.
We accept that there is a diversity from the very beginning on very marginal things. It's not changing. First, the central message of the Quran, the pillars of our faith.
In 2001, another German study caused such outrage that all mention of it was banned in some Islamic countries. A book appeared written by an expert in early Semitic languages. It was so controversial that the author published under a pseudonym and will only speak on condition that his identity remains concealed.
Es ist unbedingt erforderlich, den Koran neu zu lesen.
In order to understand it correctly, we need a fundamentally new interpretation and reading of the Quran.
Dr. Markus Gross helped to translate the book from its original German into English and is willing openly to express the author's views.
Kelly.
Ich würde schon gesagt, 20%.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Ich würde sagen, 25%.
Hello!
A quarter or a fifth of the Quran contains unintelligible words or words which don't make real sense. That number can be vastly reduced with a knowledge of Syriac to, let's say, 5%.
Pardon me?
For the name, was it Ethan Hurt?
Syrio-Aramaic
of what?
Had
name
become
of what?
One of the dominant languages of Christian liturgy by the 3rd century. Christ spoke Aramaic, and it can still be heard in remote Christian communities like this town of Malula in Syria. But at the time of Muhammad, Syrio-Aramaic was the major written and cultural language of the whole region. Written Arabic was in its infancy.
Sie haben bis zum Koran einige Inschriften.
There are pre-Islamic inscriptions in Arabic, very short texts, but the first real book written in Arabic is the Quran.
But you're saying the Quran is written in two languages.
Ja, ich würde sagen, es gibt ja kaum eine Kultursprache.
In many areas in the world, languages mix constantly, all the time.
Denn eine,
to make it understandable to a speaker of English, you have to go back about 1,000 years. Imagine the Anglo-Saxon peasant talking to his master, who was a Norman, and spoke a mixed language of French and an Anglo-Saxon. And you could only understand that mixed language with a knowledge of both.
Muslim scholars of the past had the confidence to acknowledge foreign words in the Quran. In the 10th century, Al-Tabari, one of the most respected commentators, identified Hebrew, Latin, Greek, Persian, Abyssinian, and Syriac words. The difference, though, is that Luxembourg is claiming new meanings that have never been suggested before. How can one German professor challenge the collective judgment of more than a billion people, and on what basis? What method does he use?
Ich bin natürlich bemüht, zunächst einmal eine arabische Lesung und eine arabische.
Whenever I try to find a solution for an unclear passage, the first step is to try to find an overlooked meaning of an Arabic word which is not used today, but which can be found in old dictionaries, something that the commentators didn't consider. Only if that is not possible, I take into consideration the meaning of the root, of the corresponding root in Syriac, or a possible misreading. Misreading in this case means that undotted text was dotted wrongly. Then,
all right, so here is the... I don't know how I'm listening to this, and I don't know if you can follow it. I don't want to play the rest of it because we basically have the story out there. The oldest Quran, number one, was written on paper that had been written over, meaning that it had either been changed or whatever, you know, you draw your own conclusion. But one of the most shocking aspects of this claim is that the original Quran was written not just in Arabic, but in Syrian, which is an extraordinary claim to a Muslim, to a traditional Muslim, because if the original Quran was written in Arabic and was in the bosom of Allah from time out of time, then how would it be possible to be written on earth in Syrian and Arabic? And it's reminiscent of another controversy I'll tell you about in a minute. But, I mean, I think the answer would be if you were a Muslim scholar, a Qadi or something, that you would, a judge or a scholar, you would say that it was given to these people and translated into Syrian. But it still presents a problem. And we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, Kelly, it's Dave. How you doing?
Good, David. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to let you know, since you're talking about Muslims, I'm going to be speaking to the Muslim community at the mosque on the 28th at 5:30.
What's the topic?
The topic?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm going to let them know that I was in Phoenix at the anti-Sharia rally, and I want to ask them if they are anti-Sharia, then they need to stand up along with people that want to support them, non-Muslims. So I'm going to kind of read them the Riot Act, you know, to say that you got to get involved or you're going to be victimized by the very people that want to support you.
They may give you the bum's rush, but I think it's legitimate. I think we've reached the point in America where Muslims have to decide to stand up against, you know, violence, including anything in the Sharia.
Right, exactly. I mean, because non-Muslims, white Americans, or if they don't know that there are peaceful Muslims out there that are against Sharia, then every American is going to look at them as if they're Muslim, they're a terrorist, and that's not true. But they need to stand up, and there's a lot of people willing to stand up with them.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you want, and if people showed up to listen to you, would they be allowed in there?
I don't know that. I can't imagine they wouldn't be, because there's a support group that is non-Muslim. I'm not Muslim, so I can't imagine them not being welcome.
Yeah. And I've had somebody on from the local mosque, but that was like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Trying to remember his name, but I mean the Muslim community in America is on the spot to. Around the world, but especially in America, on the spot to stand up and to oppose violence.
Right.
And, you know, the sad thing is about there's this debate over multiculturalism that doesn't have anything to do with this. Accepting somebody else's culture doesn't mean that you take in the worst practices and say we have to accept this because we're multicultural. That's just idiotic.
Sure. Well, they're here in our country, and I want to ask them, well, why did you come to this country? Assuming that it's going to be they wanted religious freedom, they don't want to be oppressed, they want to get away from Sharia law. And if that's the case, then they have to stand up. And they're going to find a lot of support if they do stand up.
Did you want to give your number out if anybody wants to ask you about it?
Sure. I'll leave my email address. It's DaveGal1, DaveGal, then the number 1, at MSN.com.
Right. Okay, Dave. I think you're a guy, not a gal, but I appreciate the email address there. But
I am.
thanks for standing up. I think it's the kind of thing that we need to do in America, but especially in our community. I think we tend to be a little bit passive here, and I'm glad to see that you're doing it. Anything else? What was the day? What's the day it's going to happen?
It's Friday the 28th, July 28th at 5:30. And I don't know exactly the address of the mosque, only that I will find it out by the time I get there.
Okay, it's off Missouri.
Okay, in Las Cruces. And I wanted to know if it's okay to stop by your office and shake your hand sometime.
Sure, please do.
I will.
Wait, wash your hands first, though.
Okay, I'll be sure to.
All right, thanks, David. All right, folks, we've got just – so anyway, the debate is a huge deal, but maybe we'll get into it some other time. Here, in the meantime, is an infested mattress from Schiff's Riffs. Mark Schiff.
Hi, this is Mark Schiff for Schiff's Riffs. The other morning, my wife came over to me and she said, Mark, listen, we've got to get a new mattress. Our mattress is shot. I can't sleep on it anymore. It's dead. It's over. And I'm thinking, what do you mean the mattress is shot? I don't think anyone in the world really knows when the mattress is shot. Unless, of course, if you're from some psycho family where you ever see where they throw out the mattress, it's on the sidewalk and there's springs coming out and half of the stuff that it's stuffed with has been eaten by some strange beast. Those mattresses are shot. My mattress is not shot. Now, the mattress companies have developed a new thing. Now they tell you that the mattress over a period of 10 or 15 years has doubled in weight. Because when you're sleeping at night, one of the things that happens is you're sweating and oil is coming off your body, sinking into the mattress. And over a period of time, this causes the mattress to double in weight. This is not true. When I'm sleeping at night, oil is not shooting out of my head and I'm not sweating like a guy stuck in the Mexican desert. No.
It's Kelly.
I go on a treadmill every day. I don't sweat and oil doesn't come off of me at 8 miles an hour in the treadmill. It's certainly not happening when I'm sleeping. Then they tell you this. You got to get a new mattress because there are microscopic mites that are eating and munching on your dead skin that has fallen off your body. This is another lie. When I'm sleeping at night, skin is not falling off my body. How many times have you woke up in the morning, gone to the bathroom, looked in the mirror and said, Oh my God, all my skin is falling off. Look at my arms. I have no skin left. This is horrible. Thank you.
Schiff's Riffs. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great weekend. More than welcome, by the way, to stop by my office, 200 South Water, especially if you have legal problems. We'll be back after 2 days. Have a great weekend. Kelly, ciao.